You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with astral projection and the dark dimension.
And to remember to not use your phone while you're driving, because it's dangerous and can cause accidents.
Yeah, they put that unless, one at the end of the movie.
Unless you want magic powers and broken hands, then use it all you want.
I feel like he went through a lot to get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of crap up front, but it kind of pays off in the end. Welcome to Super Action Bros, everybody.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to we're getting down the line, and they still haven't announced a Spider-Man Homecoming release date. They kind of hinted at it today at an Apple keynote that digitally it may be the end of this month. So
hopefully
this could be the second to last episode, or it could be the third to last episode of SAB MCU, the Super Action Bros watch the movies of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this time we're watching one of the ones another one Ryan hadn't seen.
Yeah.
He has Doctor Strange.
This is the movie that when I mention I haven't seen this, most people who know me say, really? Not even Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
Because it is the, according to people I know, it's the most Ryan of the Marvel movies that I hadn't yet seen.
I would say so, because I know that you were complaining a lot about Avengers Season 3 opening, and this is kind of... I told you, this goes back to that, oh, it's an origin separate from,
yeah,
but still related to, but doesn't really talk too much about all the other stuff sort of thing. So I'm interested to hear what you thought of it. Don't tell me now. Let it leak out slowly over the podcast. We got to give the people something to listen to.
Yeah, otherwise it'd just be done 5 minutes.
I enjoyed the movie. Bye.
That's it.
I hope it didn't suck. We'll find out. Before we get into it, though, a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you like what we do and you want to tell us what your opinions are on some of the Marvel movies or some other action movies that we've watched in the past or should be watching in the future. You can go to our website. We're part of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network. So go to stuffandthingsnetwork.com. Go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you can go to a page where you can listen to every episode we've ever done. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Get new updates as new episodes come out. You can also reach out to us on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can also reach out to us individually. For me, Ian, you can reach out to me at @irich. That's @IRITCH.
I'm on Twitter also, Ryan Roop, RYANRUPPE.
You can also email us. There's a contact us form. Click on that little button on the front page, fill out the form, and shoot us an email. Let us know some movies we should watch or maybe what you thought about Doctor Strange. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So,
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
This is definitely the strain.
Ryan. Let's cut to it. So Doctor Strange. So
yeah.
I remember seeing this movie a year ago. I remember going to when they do the thing now. Now that they've taken out that Muppets show forever at Disneyland.
Oh, no more Muppet Show.
No, now it's just like a preview theater.
Oh,
and I remember they had a preview for.
I guess
Doctor
Disney
Strange.
Always has got a cool movie coming out now that they own both Lucasfilm and Marvel.
Pretty much, yeah. It's either that theater is either Lucas. That's not really Marvel or Lucasfilm. It's usually either Marvel or some sort of live action thing. I don't know if there was an animated, any sort of live action, whether it be Beauty and the Beast,
sure,
Pirates of the Caribbean, or a Marvel movie.
Tron
that's what the
3.
California Adventure.
Nah, I'm just kidding. That's never gonna happen.
I hear talk that there is talk.
Watch my eyes roll. They're rolling so hard you can hear them.
I'm serious. They've revised. They put it back on the table. I don't know if Jeff Bridges is coming back or if it's gonna be anything like
Jeff
the other
Bridges.
Ones,
I heard him once say in an interview that he will always do Tron.
Okay, well,
so we'll see.
All right. But I remember seeing a preview for this there, and it's one of the ones where they have like the special stuff that you like, shoot air at you,
shoots
and
water
they change
at
color.
You, and it
yeah,
shakes,
and
it smells like oranges.
And the scene they showed was when the Ancient One pushes him out of his body, and he flies through space.
Cool!
So it was all these like light and color and
the,
air.
The 2001 sequence.
Yeah,
scene.
And I was just like, what is happening?
Oh, that would have been so.
And they
cool.
showed the part where like the hands become hands,
yeah, the fractal
hands,
fingers.
And I'm just like, this is the movie that Disney's like, yeah, that looks good. Put it out there.
let's show this to people who walk into our park that celebrates animated cartoons.
And then they
characters.
Cut from that to the part where they're fighting with, I can't remember what's Mads Mikkelsen's character's name?
Mads.
Cassilius?
Yeah, sure.
We'll go with that.
Casper.
Yeah. Well, they're fighting with him in the mirror dimension where all the buildings are turning
the
twisting.
Inception
they showed all that. And I'm just like, oh my God, this movie looks incredible. And I remember going to see it. I remember really enjoying it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was incredible as my mind had made it up to be in that moment, but I do remember really, really enjoying it when I first saw it.
I
just watched it recently.
Yeah, I just watched it last night. I remember being really into the trailer and then just life with a newborn baby is difficult. And so it didn't happen.
Right.
I didn't see it in the theaters. And then I by the time I was like, oh, this is on Netflix, I was like, well, we're already doing the MCU thing, so I'll just wait. Because I don't watch that many movies anyway. Right. So I've been, this is one of the ones I've been most eagerly anticipating. You've
now seen them all, except for Spider-Man.
That's true.
But all the ones you can right now, all the ones that are available legally for you to watch are you've seen them all. Congratulations. Except,
I
mean,
I could go see Spider-Man. I'm sure it's playing in a dollar theater.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I'm sure. But like legally available for you to watch in a home media center.
I'm almost caught up, guys.
You're almost there.
Amazing.
Except now you just got to watch those Netflix shows and he's dead.
No, I don't.
Hey, Defenders was pretty good.
Sure, but I don't need to watch them.
I really enjoyed Daredevil and Jessica Jones, Luke Cage. Iron Fist was all right. So who made this movie though?
Sure. Right. Let's talk about the whole situation. So actually I was a big fan of the idea of making a Doctor Strange movie, and I was really hoping that it'd be somebody who knows how to do slightly weird things. And he
looks like he has a history of
So the director, I'm familiar with this director. His name is Scott Derrickson. And his, the big thing that got him on the scene is a movie called The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
Which I've heard a lot of really good things about, but I don't actually really watch scary movies. I heard it was also like more of a court drama than it was a scary drama.
Now, but Sinister, on the other hand, is a scary movie. I didn't find it that scary.
He also directed Hellraiser Inferno, which is a hell of a debut. And he directed the remake of Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, really?
One with Keanu. I still haven't seen that. I'm a huge fan of the original.
It's all right.
This is probably
the best thing he's done. I've seen a number of his
This
movies.
Is probably also the biggest budgeted thing he's done.
Yeah.
The movie he did before this was Deliver Us from Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing he has lined up after this is the Snowpiercer TV show.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what he's supposed to be working on. And then he has like 5 movies in development, according to IMDb.
Okay.
So directed by Scott Derrickson, who is a guy who knows how to, I think, knows how to, seems to know how to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a writer. He's written more movies than he's directed.
Yeah, I noticed that. He has a writing credit on this movie.
Yeah, I was reading some of the background on it. Originally, he wanted to write it, and then they had kind of an aggressive shooting schedule and an aggressive release date. Originally, it was going to come out in the summer. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, no, you can't write it other than the one scene that you scripted, storyboarded, and shot before Marvel gave you the movie to convince them to give it to you,
which is
a thing that he did,
which was
one of the scenes with the Ancient One in one of the fights. He didn't use, it obviously wasn't the same actors, it was the operating room astral projection scene.
Oh, okay.
He scripted, storyboarded, and shot that to pitch the movie to Marvel.
Oh, the when Dr. Strange is fighting the guy while she's operating on him.
Okay. Yeah, apparently that. So the movie's been in production hell since the mid 90s.
Really? Okay.
Since earlier than that.
Yeah.
As various levels of Dr. Strange.
As with most Marvel properties, I just learned about James Cameron's original pitch for Spider-Man where he would be cursing left and right because it was going to be R-rated.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, there was a list of several, like a lot of directors who really were interested, and I think that probably Scott Derrickson had that golden combination of enthusiasm and not being very expensive,
mm-hmm.
As well as being capable of making movies, which it seems like they're having trouble with people in the Lucasfilm realm, having some trouble with people there.
Yeah.
We can talk about that at the back of the ranch.
Let's put it this way. Today, it seems like, okay, things have calmed down. We got somebody back.
I read an interesting article about it. But Scott Derrickson was originally not going to write the movie. Mm-hmm. He has a co-writer, Robert Cargill, who also has a writing credit on this.
Mm-hmm.
But Marvel said, no, we don't have time for you guys to both write and direct. And so they brought in another guy, John Spates.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up collaborating, essentially. Okay. Because the movie, basically what happened was they were like, we want this to come out in the summer. And Benedict Cumberbatch was like, oh, you know what? I'm doing Hamlet. I can't do the movie. And they're like, okay, when can you do the movie?
I mean.
And he was like, well, I mean, just get somebody else. And they're all, sure. So when are you available, though?
Because
they were really into having old, you know, Bendy Booch Bumbersnatch in the movie. But John Spates is a writer who has written some movies with various levels of popularity, like Prometheus.
I see.
Like Passengers.
Okay.
But he's a guy who has successfully written movies, and that's something.
So let's talk about
And then it's the... based obviously by on the Stanley Steve Ditko. Okay.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about the cast. Let's talk about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Sure.
How do you feel about Benedict Cumberbatch?
Okay, so when it was I remember, like I said, I've been following this one.
This character, first of all, in the movie, this character is a weird starting point. Which I was worried watching it again that this movie was going to lose you right at the beginning.
See, so the thing is, I have read some Doctor Strange.
Right.
And I was invested before coming in because I like the character of Doctor Strange.
Okay, good.
And I mean, his origin story is a redemptive arc.
Yeah.
It's this guy was a piece of crap.
But like I feel like in a different way, he was even like, especially after his accident happened, he was worse than Tony Stark. Like Tony Stark was bad. This guy is like way worse.
Well, yeah, I mean like he sort of lost himself, you know? He was like, well, I've, you know.
Oh, that whole scene with him and Rachel McAdams where
he's just a total monster to her, yeah.
Like butthole to her. And like I was just like watching this, I'm like, oh God, I hope this isn't the part where Ryan goes, nope, don't care about this guy anymore. See you later, movie, and like tunes out.
No, like I sort of expected that.
Okay, good.
Because I know that was part of the Doctor Strange redemptive.
You gotta hit like rock bottom, and that's his rock bottom before he
And they have little, you know, he's got the watch from her and stuff, even though it's broken. But so Benedict Cumberbatch, I thought that it was just the laziest casting ever. Uh-huh. It is like, oh well, let's fantasy cast this. Oh, what about the Sherlock guy? Perfect. It's like, sure, there are a ton of other actors who could also have successfully been Doctor Strange, but in a world where Marvel has unlimited budget, which they effectively do, why not get the guy?
Yeah.
So they got the guy.
Do you think he did? Was it?
He was great, except for his American accent was so distracting.
Because you're used to hearing him be Sherlock.
Because I want to hear him with his regular accent.
Yeah.
And then every time he opened his mouth, it just... it irks me.
It's not bad. It's not like he can't do an American accent.
No, he can. It feels very much like he's putting on an accent. and sometimes he got a little almost like twangy.
Uh-huh.
And that was even worse.
Okay.
It took me out of the movie so many times. Literally the only thing that I didn't like about Benedict Cumberbatch, besides it would have been interesting to see literally anybody else do it, was that his accent. The American accent.
Was there anybody else that even had in mind?
No.
I didn't think so.
Like, there's other people who came up, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt and other people like that. He's
looking at him. He looks like
old enough. He really works
like
in the role.
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, he's tall, especially once he cuts his hair, he shaves the goatee and he has the little...
The gray
on the temples. It's right on. He looks just like Doctor Strange. Well, and so I was reading that Doctor Strange's design was originally based on Vincent Price.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Of course, you get a tall, lanky guy with kind of a deep voice. Yeah. Boom. Doctor Strange. Perfect. Yeah.
Who else do we have?
We've got, and I was just double-checking that I could say it right, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Okay, I've seen him in other things.
Ejiofor, sorry. Chiwetel Ejiofor. He was in Amistad. This is his first big role. He was in 12 Years a Slave. He was in Serenity. He's in Children of Men. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
Like he's a great actor, and I was glad that they cast him as prominently in this. And then obviously they've got that hook for sequel situation.
Yeah, because he is, for those of you who don't know, comics history, he is Doctor Strange's like arch nemesis.
Yeah.
But they start out as buddies.
And they don't even, I like that they don't even get into it.
No, they don't even, they don't even really even hint at it.
No, they're until just the end like of the
movie.
Pals.
They give you like at the end of the movie, I didn't even realize that was that dude, because I don't know a lot about Doctor Strange, but I did a little bit of research for the movie to be like, okay, I'm going to get those comic questions, and I'm like being and I don't want to be Doctor Strange about it and go look at Wikipedia, you dummy. I want to be able to answer some questions. And so I was like, oh, is that? Oh, okay. All right. So he is the bad guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But he's not in this one.
No, not at all.
I liked how they did that.
Yeah, I do too.
Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
She's not actually in it very much.
No.
And then I saw a funny thing on the internet. I was saying that she keeps playing the wife of people who have time manipulation ability, but she never gets to she never gets to manipulate time or travel in time.
It's true.
But she's like the astronaut's wife, like four movies.
Yep.
That keeps happening.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I mean, she didn't have a very big part.
Yeah.
She had a very small part, but it was nice that at the end she didn't just let him sweep her off her feet and kiss him and everybody's happy.
No.
I was like, no, it's good because he lost her.
Yeah.
And that's over.
I mean, I kind of like the finality. I won't say like he lost her and it's over, but I will say it's like, you apologized, we're okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, and we'll fall back in love. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Like, I think, what is the last thing he says to her in the movie, or when they talked about the ancient one, like when the ancient one dies, or what's her official name? Oh, just no, the ancient one.
Yeah, she didn't even
there
have
you
name.
Go. But yeah, I think that it's just like, well, that's it, and I'll see you later. I gotta go do this. Bye. And like at the very end, it's not like, and then she shows up and they're in love. No, he's like, this is my thing now. I have to protect. This is my calling. This is what I have to do. So anyway, I agree with you on that. I agree that it wasn't, I think that was one of the stronger things in the story. It was like, it wasn't really like a love story in any sense. So, who's next? Benedict Wong.
Benedict Wong is great as Wong. It's,
oh man.
He has been in so many movies
that
I've seen.
He has been in a lot of things.
I'm just looking through his IMDb. It's gnarly how many movies he's been in.
Yeah.
He was great in this. At first I thought it was just a bit part, but he kind of kept coming around and he stuck around. I liked that.
Well, Wong is like the...
Yeah, Wong in the comics is like Doctor
Strange's,
the two of them.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is Alfred, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, but he's also kicks more butt than Doctor Strange does.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for... Like in terms of actual kicking of actual butt.
Yes.
Also, it's funny. For Chiwetel Ejiofor, mm-hmm. He's a like fifth level black belt in karate.
Oh, really?
And so all the fight scenes, he's just like
actually doing karate.
All right,
there you go.
I thought that was kind of cool.
So our villain for the movie, this guy just looks like a bad guy. I love Mads Mikkelsen.
He's a guy who became the most famous playing Hannibal.
I mean, he got his big first America, where people knew him America-wise.
Sure, in Casino Royale.
In Casino Royale, as Le Chief.
Yeah.
But he's been in a lot of stuff, before that.
Yeah, but a lot of Danish stuff well before that.
Yeah.
And
what's the movie where it's like he's like a Viking? It's a Danish movie that he was in.
Valhalla weird. Rising?
Yes, that's the one. It's really weird.
All right. Oh, it's Nicholas Winding Refn.
Yep.
Yeah, that guy knows how to make a movie.
But he was also recently in Rogue One. He's getting more mainstream casting now.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors where he's just got, like, to me, he's on the same level as like Michael Shannon, where like he's just got a look. And like when you look at him, you're like, ooh, I know what kind of parts you can play.
Yeah.
And
which kind of sucks for him, I'm imagining, because it's like, oh, great, I get to be another bad guy.
I watched a really interesting thing on typecasting. Why it necessarily isn't the worst thing in the world. It was one of those No Small Parts one. And he was talking about Dean Norris, the guy from Breaking Bad, who's like the bald guy who plays like his brother, who's a cop.
Okay.
He's played a cop in everything. and he's played a cop. They went through his IMDb credits, and it was something like 35 to 36 times over the course of the last 30 years
That's amazing.
And it's like, and he's like, yeah, so some people could say like, yeah, it's a terrible, he's like, I'm the alphabet actor, you know, what did he say? He's the, the FBI, CIA, DEA.
Oh, yeah. He's that guy.
LAPD, like any.
Put him in a suit and a uniform and it looks right.
He's the alphabet actor. You just put whatever letters you want, throw it on the back of his jacket and he's good to go. But like, the point was like, if somebody wants to keep paying you to play these parts,
that's fair.
Let them do it.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Sure, if you want to do other stuff, that's fine. But let them do it. They want to give you money. Like, let them do it if you're good at it. So I don't know. I've seen him do a lot of things. I mean, like even in Rogue One, even though he had a small part, his Rogue One role wasn't like an evil monster. He was
kind of.
No, I mean, he was the dad. He was to build the Death
Star.
No,
you're right. I was thinking of the other guy. He's not Krennic. He's Galen Erso.
He's Galen Erso.
No, that's true.
And then we have your favorite, seemingly genderless,
timeless pixie from
pixie
the future,
woman,
Tilda Swinton. Yeah. She's there's a lot of controversy.
I'll let you handle this one.
There's a lot of controversy with her casting because people were I mean, it's the ancient one is classically in the comics an Asian actor or an Asian character.
Yeah.
And obviously Tilda Swinton is not.
No.
And I read some stuff on it, and like Scott Derrickson was like, well, I kind of tried to cast against type. I went with a woman instead of what is typically a male role. I also was trying to avoid like Orientalism, like sort of like stereotyping. Yeah. It, and it's like,
I see that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. At the same time, like it's a white person in a traditionally Asian role, which is a thing that happens that has happened a lot over the history of cinema and kind of sucks too. So it's
two ways to look at it.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I mean, for me, when I looked at it, I don't feel it's on the same level a lot of people felt about like Scarlett Johansson and Ghost in the Shell.
Sure, yeah.
I felt like she almost didn't even seem like I'm an American. It just seemed like she was this weird, like timeless entity. Well, yeah.
I mean,
it didn't even seem like she was a person. Like if that seems weird. Like she wasn't like playing like a real world person.
Sure. Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Like if you're like Tilda Swinton's playing Wong, I'd be like, that's weird.
Yeah.
but this just it didn't seem like I get what he was coming from. It's kind of like the same way with we talked about with Iron Man 3 with the Mandarin. Like,
how are you gonna do that?
And to be fair, Mordo too in the comics is a old white man.
Yeah.
Like, so there is differences in casting here. But as specifically with this, I was like, I don't really feel like. I don't know. I don't feel like the character. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's somebody out there who's going to tell me I'm wrong. But like, I don't feel like the character of the Ancient One is like, oh, that's sacred. How dare you?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, fair
for the most part. Like, I feel like with something like Ghost in the Shell, where mm-hmm. it's different.
It's such a so baked into Japanese
so
culture.
So baked in. This is like some it's probably. Yeah, oh, this is let's an American be honest. Comic. Let's be real. Let's be frank. It's a white guy from the '60s version of an ancient.
Yeah.
Asian man, like that's the idea behind it, and so it's like, why not subvert that if we can? And it doesn't really affect the story negatively or positively in any way.
Yeah. Like, I thought Tilda Swinton was pretty good.
I thought she did a good job.
I mean, this is a Tilda Swinton role. Like you
it
could,
is.
You know how you can tell if it's a Tilda Swinton role? Could David Bowie do it?
Yes. Oh man, I'd love to see a biopic on David Bowie where she plays David Bowie. That would make me so happy.
Have you seen the photo shoots that they did together?
Yes,
yeah,
where
absolutely. They like traded clothes and stuff.
It's kind of like when I saw that. What was that Bob Dylan movie?
Yeah,
I'm not there. Did she play Bob Dylan? No, I know that Cate Blanchett did.
Yeah,
but I don't know if Tilda Swinton was in it too.
I don't think so.
That was an interesting movie. It was weird, man. okay. Other than that, I mean, there's a couple other
Benjamin Bratt actors. I did not expect.
Yeah, I was like, oh, hey, what's up, buddy? What are you doing here?
Like, what? Like, I mean, bit part.
Yeah.
Barely in it.
Same with Michael Stuhlbarg, who I've seen. He's another that guy actor I've seen in a lot of things.
And then, and I feel bad because there's then the rest of the bad guys.
Yeah.
Who were played by people like Scott Adkins, Zara Pythian, is it P.H. Fythian? But, like... Man, they got nothing. They exist as CG models for fighting.
Maybe
there's no personality. Nothing happens.
I wonder how Benjamin Bratt got this role. Do you think he was just like, hey man, I want to do a Marvel movie. Well, you can be the guy who points him to the guy. All right.
Sure.
If it's a CSI episode or like a Law and Order episode, you're like the guy who works the docs, who tells him about this other guy who he saw.
So you're the first interview.
Yeah.
Because the second interview in every CSI episode is the killer.
Yeah.
Every time, guaranteed. But, second person they talk to.
But yeah, he didn't really, other than that, he's just like a little one-part role, and that's it.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, Stan Lee's in it.
Of course.
And besides that, it's a lot of people are listed. There are a lot of extras, a lot of walk-on parts, but really the main cast is those...
Yeah, it's
five.
And I think maybe that's why it feels so similar to the like first run of Marvel movies is because the cast isn't like dramatic, like gigantically huge.
It feels honestly like a small movie.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I mean, it's just like it is a movie. I mean, the stakes are still like the world.
Yeah.
But it just feels like a little thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that. There's not a giant ensemble cast.
Yeah.
We don't have to check in with lots of people. There's not multiple plot threads going on.
No.
It's one story
that
starts and finishes.
Which after something like Civil War must be very refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, this is a movie. This is what I want from a movie.
Yeah.
You know, we see a character arc. We see a character grow and change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can talk about themes and
yeah, let's talk about themes and the MacGuffin. So, Ryan, what is a MacGuffin? Tell the boys and girls.
We use it really loosely here on the show. It generally means the thing everybody's trying to get, sort of the driving force in a movie. In Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's the Ark of the Covenant.
So, what is it here?
It is
Earth.
Yeah, it's stopping that guy.
Yeah.
It's stopping Dormammu and K-O-Pectate, whatever his name is.
That sounds like a drug.
It is, in fact, an anti-diarrheal medication.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, it's stopping that guy, the destruction of Earth. But really, the focus isn't so much on saving. It's more on stopping.
Yeah, and I think that I like that they do an interesting thing in here where they go, the Avengers save the world from physical threats.
Yeah,
like
they throw out the Avengers.
Yeah,
they throw out the Avengers. Literally the only reference we get except until the credits.
Infinity Stone. No, yeah. we get
Infinity Stone. You're right.
But other than that, they're just like, I mean, and you see Stark Tower in the background somewhere.
Sure.
But the idea is like, here's how, it's kind of like what they did with Thor. Thor was like, hey, here's how we're going to explain so this makes sense. Here you go. And here they're like, well, why does this guy matter? Well, this is how magic works. It's just drawing stuff from other dimensions. Like when she goes through the whole explanation of how magic works,
yeah,
it's like, you can call it, we call it spells, but you can call it like a process or procedure.
Yeah, or a program.
A program. Yeah. Basically, you do this to do this to make this happen. Mm-hmm. That's what magic is in this world.
Well, it's
magic kind of based in science, kind of like Thor, so it kind of holds that up a bit.
No, I'm pretty confident the magic is sort of the same between Thor and this.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things they did to sort of make that easier is they actually hired the same effects team who did the infinitesimal, the super small universe in Ant-Man.
Oh, yeah,
to do a bunch of the effects here.
Somebody said when he's flying through all those different things, if you look close, he does go to the, what's the name of the
I don't know what they call it.
The quantum
realm. Yeah, the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. No, they hired the people who did the quantum realm to do a lot of the crazy effects in this movie.
Flying through the, like, that's the
that,
thing.
That, so there's that huge, that insane, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Where he's flying through, he flies sequence. Through his own eye.
Yeah, where he... Where he just loses
Those
it.
Those are the baby hand dimension where all these hands, little hands grab him.
That's my favorite part. It's so weird. It's so weird. It's deeply, deeply strange and odd.
But what are some of the themes in the movie? I mean, obviously there's the theme of like, I don't even want to say it because I know you said it's a redemptive story, but is it really a redemptive story or is it like...
I think so because he shows that he's willing to sacrifice himself and eternally keep dying from this guy in order to save everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is everybody says, you've done all of this for you.
Yeah.
And at that point he decides, I'm going to do this for
somebody
them.
Else. Okay. So he changes in the way that he is now doing something for somebody else.
Yeah.
Even so much. So I guess you're right. Cause at the very end, he's just like, well, I am now in charge of this New York sanctum. This is my thing.
Yeah.
I guess this is my job now. But it's almost, I think it's almost like what I like about the story is that he struggles so hard to keep what he was.
Mm-hmm.
That he isn't open to the idea of doing being something new and even something honestly probably greater and of more importance to people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not getting the recognition of a surgeon, but like I think the idea of that he holds on so dearly to like this is who I am. He holds on to that identity so much. It's really interesting, like a character arc, because we get him when he's at the top of his game.
Yeah, and we watch him hit bottom, essentially.
But it's not like Tony Stark, where it's like we see him at the top of his game, he hits bottom, makes Iron Man suit, and then it's like everything's great. Tony's back. We love him.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't happen for him. It's like he hits bottom, and then it's like instead of just being like a whoop, like a right back up, like a excuse the pun, an Iron Man suit flying through the air back up, there's like steps he goes through.
Yeah,
like even when he's fighting Mads Mikkelsen's character for the first time, he still sucks a lot.
Yeah.
He sucks real bad.
Yep.
Like he sucks real bad for most of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's not good at what he's supposed to do, and like by the end of it, he's not really even, I mean, spoiler alert, but in the comics, he's known as the Sorcerer Supreme. But even at the end of this, I don't even know if he's even there yet.
Yeah, no, I don't think he is. It's sort of like he's all right. He's sort of going to become that.
Yeah, he's working on it. It's like it's what they say in the movie. How did you become a doctor and do all that stuff? Years of practice.
Yeah.
Years of reading and practice, study and practice.
I guess the part of the weird sequence, the 2001 A Space Odyssey sequence, as mm-hmm. I keep calling it, is almost shot for shot the same as in Contact.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy, Contact.
I saw that movie in the theaters for some reason.
Yeah, you should watch Arrival.
I know.
Arrival's like the good Contact.
Ooh.
I would not say it's an action movie, but it's not what I expected it to be, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It made me cry.
This movie I also really enjoyed. So this does have action.
What are some other themes, though, in this movie?
Are there
any other than that? Because we really follow Stephen Strange.
It is like a classic movie. I mean, it's even, you could even say it's a classic superhero movie because we get the full origin story.
Right.
I think, and it's funny because I have been known to complain about origin stories in action movies and in superhero movies specifically.
Yeah.
And I think the reason it works so well in this movie is because it's not the origin of Spider-Man or Batman.
Or Superman.
Because we've seen the origin of Spider-Man and Batman.
And Superman.
And Superman, but specifically Spider-Man and Batman. I've seen it cinematically dozens of times.
Yeah. Which is why I appreciated the one thing I did like about Batman versus Superman is they addressed it in the opening bit real fast, and that was it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, we get it in the first Iron Man. Great. Because nobody knew really much about Iron Man at that point.
And spoiler for you, they don't really address it at all in Spider-Man.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, cool.
They just go like, oh, Aunt May's going through a rough time right now. And they just go, so wait, like a spider bit you? Yeah, it's complicated. They don't talk about Uncle Ben.
That's good.
There's no, with great power comes great responsibility. I'm assuming they're like, you guys already know that, and it will bring it up later, probably.
Nice. but I think that the Doctor Strange story isn't that well known.
Yeah.
And it's pretty compelling. Like, you feel for the guy, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, but you kind of suck, man. Like, I get it, but you, and especially they sort of highlight the fact that he not only is a brilliant surgeon, but then he's like, well, but you know, I'm not going to save this person because I won't make that much money, and it won't be that prestigious.
Right. Exactly.
Won't look good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was
like, even in the beginning, that little moment where like the lady who saves his husband's life, like she tries to hug him. He's like, oh no
touching.
Yeah. Like, that shows you that I didn't do it for you. I did it for me.
Yeah.
Which that's the first kind of like, I know this is maybe, that's what our show does. Get used to it, guys. We're going to go way too in-depth on movies that are not meant to go in this in-depth on. But that's
like
the first, that's the first moment where you're like, oh, he isn't like a good doctor.
Well, and then when she says like
he's a good doctor, he's going to do his job.
She's like, you could save lives here in the ER. And he's like, well, yeah, but who would?
Yeah,
yeah, like even, just he sort of is like, no, why would you
even when
ask
he's
me?
In the car, when he's talking, he's like, not weird enough. It's almost like has that element. I felt that in the beginning, I'm like, oh, this is like House, isn't it? like he kind of has that same thing. That's kind of what I got. Of it. It's like somebody's like, okay, the first part of it, he's got to be a little bit of like House, a little bit where he's just like kind of like a jerk, but he helps people, but. It just because it's fun for him.
Yeah.
Like he does it for his own benefit.
Well, and
because
it makes him money and it makes other people like him.
Exactly.
Are there
any other things?
This movie looks weird. There's some weird parts.
Yeah.
I like that it's not all fully explained, like the whole building folding thing. At first I was kind of like, well, why?
Well, they mention the mirror dimension.
Sure.
They say, you know, it's a place where like it's.
No, but I mean like.
You can't harm reality.
That's as much as we get, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it looks cool.
Yeah, it sure does.
And that's
the
okay.
Inception dimension?
Yeah, the Inception dimension.
That's really
Yeah, but
is.
I mean, like, it's more fun than Inception. You know, what's interesting is the score is, it's a Michael Giacchino score.
Yep.
It's good.
You can tell because the theme is kind of memorable.
Yeah, kind of.
And it also
counts
a little bit.
It
sounds a little bit like Sherlock, too. They use a little harpsichord
in
it.
Yeah, they
do.
Well,
like,
they have some sitar in there as well.
They wanted to go, I was reading something about it, like they wanted to go for like a kind of a weird, trippy, kind of 70s-ish vibe.
They also wanted a Pink Floyd song in the credits, but decided they couldn't afford it.
Oh, probably not, no.
Which... I don't believe them. They couldn't afford it. It's that they didn't want to afford it.
I mean, I think it works better. I think the movie. This isn't a movie where you should use a pop song in the credits.
No. You know what though? Like just from a music nerd.
Even though they had Chuck Mangione in there.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. I mean, they made a lot of music references.
They did.
But they didn't.
Doctor Strange knows his stuff.
They didn't have that in there very
really,
much.
Really,
he really knows a lot about 1970s light rock.
Yes, he sure does.
But what I was disappointed about the score, which I really like Giacchino, I would have appreciated. A weirder score, a more experimental score.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, like a more Philip Glass, Steve Reich,
right.
You know, kind of like music that sort of.
You didn't say that he who must not be named.
No, because I don't want a Hans Zimmer score. I want something that sort of like
he'll score us now. If you keep talking about it.
If there was a something that sort of unfolds upon itself, it would have been kind of, I don't know. Maybe I listened to too much weird music.
No, I think you're right.
Subscribe to my music email newsletter at prestigeformat.com.
There it is.
But I honestly I like Giacchino, but I think a more experimental score would have been really interesting.
It's funny because I was just at Disneyland recently when they did the whole like superhero thing and they had all this Marvel music playing. And I think they've ended that now. I think this week's the last week or yesterday was or something. They had like the whole like Marvel superhero summer thing. And I was in line for the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And this guy behind me knew every single track name and what movie it was from. And he kept trying to show off.
The score?
Yeah. That was just playing in the background. He's like, oh, this is from Iron Man 2. Track name this. I'm like,
hey, buddy.
I want to say hey, man.
Go outside.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I could probably do that with Star Wars because the themes are pretty, but all these sound the same. How do you know?
We're such haters.
No. It's true. There's a really good video from Every Frame of Painting that talks about this. And they talk not just Marvel movies, but they use this as an example, but like movies in general.
Especially now because
there's all these temp scoring that people use. They use scores from other movies to temp cut their films. And then like the people who are like composers have to then, well, we've already cut the movie to this temp cut of this music I like.
So just make it sound like this.
Yeah. Like when's the last time you heard a Danny Elfman score sound like a Danny Elfman score?
They all sound like Danny Elfman's.
No. Oh, you very clearly haven't heard Danny Elfman's new work that sounds more like Howard Shore.
Just like when Daft Punk, the only quote unquote scored Tron, they turned in a soundtrack. Disney rejected it. And so they're like, well, okay, we'll get somebody else to do most of the work, but give us a couple of songs.
Yeah. I think the problem is people aren't allowed to. There's not that partnership. Like, say what you will about about Tim Burton, but those old Tim Burton movies, he would partner with Danny Elfman. It's very clear they had a working partnership together.
Well, I think a lot of it is due to the way
theme is still so good.
The way the movies are produced now, they don't, like, scoring comes in later.
Yeah.
They used to score earlier. The scoring was more involved, and now it's like, all right, 6 weeks till premiere.
Yeah.
You ready?
The only ones I can think of in recent memory that are still that way are the last main canon Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Giacchino did a pretty good job in Rogue One.
Yeah, but like John Williams, even though he likes to borrow from a lot of different musical style or musical folks, he does a decent job. And I think
if you really like the Star Wars soundtracks, the Planets.
I love Giacchino because I think The Incredibles is incredible for lack of a better word.
If you really like Duel of the Fates, man, have you heard the opera Carmina Burana?
You like Jurassic Park? There's a couple pieces I can recommend to you. Same thing with Alan Silvestri; he does the same thing.
But it works.
It was funny. I saw something going off the tangent. Then we'll get back to Doctor Strange. It was like a celebration of Alan Silvestri. Here's all the movies he's done. No, it was like, it's fine.
Okay.
But here's all the movies he's done. This one. You know what one wasn't listed? It's the most well-known thing he's ever written.
Back to the Future.
The Back to the Future theme. That wasn't one of like the score. He's worked on all these. Lethal Weapon, this. I'm like, who cares? Where's Back to the Future?
They probably couldn't get the rights to it.
No, I'm sure they did because it was like a celebration of his music. And we're going to talk about it at this art center. I'm like, why didn't they just write the words Back to the Future on
Who
here.
Knows. They didn't want that kind of nerd showing up.
I guess me. Yep. Anyway, okay, let's talk about.
There was some jokes in this movie.
Yeah, there were.
Did you know that they brought in Dan Harmon to punch it up?
I'm not surprised.
Yes, and I mean you can tell. My favorite joke in the movie is.
Which one,
Mr. Doctor? Mr. Doctor. Strange. Yes, it is. And then he called him Mr. Doctor like two or three more times.
I enjoyed
it. It was so good. That pleased me just so much.
I enjoyed the
or the Beyonce bit. Yes, that was good too.
Adele, Eminem.
That he kept doing it. He just kept going with it.
Just enjoy that the scene later, it's Wong listening to Beyonce. Yeah. But my question is, did he already know who Beyonce was and just didn't want to give him the satisfaction? Or was he like, I need to look up this person?
And then he was like, these single ladies... He does need to put a ring on it.
They have a lot of demands, this single lady.
If he likes it, he should put a ring on it. Yeah.
So Reminds me of a Key and Peele sketch. Anyway.
But I appreciate that it seems at this point in Marvel movies, they realize like, yeah, no, we need jokes.
Yes.
Like there needs to be some jokes.
Yeah, and it's a pretty heavy, weird also, movie too.
It is a pretty heavy, weird movie with the exception of the Cloak of Levitation, which is the other bit of comic relief in this movie. And it's cute. Apparently, Benedict Cumberbatch suggested the part where it wipes the tears.
Do you realize, like, other than the Vision, this is like the first... I mean, the Vision... Well, I guess Thor had it. But Thor really doesn't even use that cape. Like, this is the one where the cape is almost like such an integral part of the character.
It's
this is the first one where you notice, like, oh, that guy's got a cape on.
Uh-huh,
like, Thor has a cape. Vision has a cape.
But Thor doesn't have a cape the whole time. Thor loses his cape
when it's
fighting
time. Goes away sometimes.
Vision, same deal.
Same deal. But, like, this guy, like, the cape is part of his outfit. It's a necessary part of the ensemble.
We mentioned The Incredibles earlier. Everybody took it to heart. No capes.
I don't know. Okay, let's talk about
sucked into a jet engine.
Let's talk about the best part of this movie. Let's talk about the action sequences.
Oh,
and I'm not going to say fight sequences because
the fighting is good,
but like the action sequence that it's more the conditions of the fights that make the fights so good.
Well, and we mentioned the Inception, Marvel Inception.
Yes.
And there's definitely...
That is the best way to
walls turning into floors, the opening scene in this movie sets the tone.
It's like...
The opening scene is like, hey guys,
guess
what?
You're into some weird stuff. We're going to do some weird things. And it's them running around on buildings, like buildings collapsing and smushing people.
Yeah,
like,
multiplying and unraveling.
And then it just goes to... You take... They're like, okay, this is a taste of what you're going to get. And then when they're fighting later at the New York Sanctum and he puts them in the mirror dimension, it's like, let's crank that up to 11.
Yeah, let's go nuts.
Let's just go insane with it.
I like the part where he breaks the window and kicks a guy into the desert and then flips
also,
it so the guy's stuck
fun
there.
Fun side note, pretty gnarly car accident in this movie.
Yeah.
I
guess Lamborghini gave him like 5 Lamborghinis and they actually trashed one.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean,
I don't know how you would. I would just say, we did trash it. I don't know what happened to that one.
I have to say that like the part where it's so telling and it's well done. I think when he's like when he's in that accident, you're like, oh my god, okay, he's probably gonna be all right. He'll be all right. And then
they show
like the dashboard coming in and him gripping the steering wheel, and you're like, no.
And they do a quick cut where they show the dashboard coming over his hands.
Yeah, it's like he's gripping the steering wheel. And it's like then everything speeds up, and you're like, oh. This poor guy. But see, if you know Doctor Strange's backstory before going into it, you're expecting that. But I'm like, okay, are they going to do it well? And they did.
Yeah. No, my wife was very much like, oh, his hands. And I was like, that's right. I knew that was coming.
his hands, yes.
So we should probably shout out. So the action sequences are incredible. The mirror dimension one.
The special effects in this movie are great.
I like
the time freezing one too.
They grab Mads Mikkelsen in the crimson bands of Cytorak.
Yes.
Which
is on the wall in the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah. Also a thing that Juggernaut wears.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's he's the other Marvel guy. Other side of the fence. there's lots of little references that are good, but nothing that if you don't need it, you can ignore it.
Man,
I just liked this movie. It was fun.
I'm glad you liked it.
It was weird. I liked that it was weird. It told a complete story, had a good character arc.
I also enjoy the final battle, the final fight in this movie, the big confrontation. It's just Doctor Strange annoying a guy until he gives in. He's just like,
is that a personal thing? Like you specifically?
No, I know at one point, when
they show his watch and he's putting it on, it's definitely February 2nd. I'm serious. That happens earlier in the movie.
Okay.
Groundhog's Day.
Oh, okay. All right. I just really enjoyed that. Like that was what he did. He's like, I'm never gonna physically beat you, but I can outsmart you by just annoying you for all eternity.
Well, yeah, and it's like this. Oh, he exists in a world without time. Let's make time.
I thought that was great,
and then it was amazing
to watch all the different ways
that they killed
Dr. Strange.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's a point probably when they're writing it. They're like, all right, guys.
He gets crushed with a rock.
Okay, and then a bunch of rocks stab him through the chest. Sharp rock. Okay, looks like a planetoid or an asteroid hits him and disintegrates him.
So spoilers for next time. I think right, Guardians 2 is next.
Yes.
Spoilers for next time. This having not seen this movie, then having seen Guardians 2, I was like, it was too big of a change for me. the amount of weirdness in Guardians 2. And I've talked previously how about the Marvel movies and how they masterfully like slowly push you into very weird places. Mm-hmm. And this movie is crucial to get you from Ant-Man to Guardians 2.
So what you're saying, Ryan, is that you'll never miss one again and you'll always watch them in the right order.
I guess not.
You'll never, ever, ever, ever miss another one again.
Let's not go that far. but I mean, this one does a really good job of taking the little bit of weirdness that we got in Ant-Man in the first Guardians movie
and
cranking it up to a point where you're like, wow, this is as weird as it can get. And then your Overton window of weirdness in action movies is shifted. And so then by the time you go see the next one, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, you're like, oh, yeah, this is pretty. Oh, wow. This got weirder. So I appreciate that there's somebody in the higher echelons of the Marvel Cinematic Universe management system who's saying, all right, how weird can we make one movie to get us where we want to eventually be in terms of weirdness?
I also forgot to mention, I really like the fight when they are fighting them and using the time like thing.
Oh yeah.
When time is running in reverse. Oh, so like, cool. Like for example, there'll be like, I remember
that
when
whole
that, like,
scene was the, so
where, like,
well
the
done.
Water
it
is,
so
is
cool.
Flowing out and they punch the girl into the
water.
Yeah.
And now she's stuck in the thing.
I'm like, oh, that's come on. That's smart. Or like they push Mads Mikkelsen into a wall and then the wall rebuilds
bricks up,
around
yeah.
him. Oh man. That's like, that's well done.
It was cool.
Well done.
It was really
like,
cool.
Well done. Or like the building is rebuilding itself. You never see an action sequence where where nothing is, something is being created,
I mean,
instead
just,
of destroyed.
It's just clever on its face. It's like, oh, they get there at the end of the fight and they're like, well, let's undo the fight that we missed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. It's good times. Good work, guys.
I really enjoyed that. This is the second time actually I've seen it. I buy these Marvel movies. I'm like, great, got it. It's almost like a comic book. I'm like, great, put that in the box and never look at it again. But like, I've been rewatching them all and I'm like, okay, good. I'm getting my $14 to $20 worth again. And I'm every time I watch one, I'm like, I'm really glad I did go through and get all these, because like, I'm glad that I got them. Like, this is like a thing that's like, one thing that I am excited about eventually, if eventually I ever have a child, will be showing them these and being like, this is what, when I was in my late teens and my 20s, this is what I spent my time doing. Like, these movies look terrible, Dad.
This, Dad?
They're not even holograms. This is stupid. Yeah. Benedict Cumberbatch is the president now. No, he can't do that.
He can't. He was born in England.
Unless they amend the laws.
No, then Arnold would be the president. Anyway.
anyway, so Ryan, final thoughts on this movie?
I really liked it. It's really fun. It's on Netflix.
It is.
You can watch it for $8.99 a month or however much Netflix costs now.
It is available on Netflix.
That's how I watched it. Also, like, you can go into this having not seen any other Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
That's true.
And it's just, you could just one and done it and be like, huh, that was all right. That was good. That was weird. And you could, you never have to see another one. I mean, obviously, we're not going to recommend that.
We will be watching Spider-Man. According to iTunes, it is expected September 26th.
Boom. There it is.
So this is the third to last one. So you can see them all. Well, I've seen them
Amazing.
All. We'll be up to date.
Yeah. No, I really liked it. This might be one of my favorite ones.
All right.
This might be tops up there with
Ant-Man and
Guardians
and Captain America 2.
Cap 2. Yeah.
All right.
This is... Yeah, man. I really like this.
I'm glad. I'm really glad that you did. Also, by the way, after credits thing, they do tie in Thor.
Apparently, that Thor scene was directed by Taika Waititi.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's got the joke.
I'm interested to see how that ties into Ragnarok when we see it.
Yeah, I'm like,
because his hair is long, and his hair was short.
But then he's like, we're going to find Odin
and
Loki's here in New York. And I'm like, well, that is not fighting the Hulk on another planet.
Well, don't you?
So
do you remember
what's
going to
happen
this
movie?
Do you remember how Thor 2 ended? Remember he goes back. He's like, "Thank you, Father." He's like, "I'm really proud of you, son."
Yeah.
Thanks. All right.
Oh,
well,
and he knows it's Loki.
And it turns out it's Loki.
Yeah.
So
no,
like,
I knew that part.
Where is Odin?
That.
Where is Loki hiding him?
Yeah.
What's
so,
going
but also Loki is there.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I have
so
my
we'll see
my weirdo watch list, and your brother's on it.
Yeah. So you're saying as soon as you get him, you'll go back to Asgard and leave here? Yeah. Fantastic. I'll help you. Bye.
Yeah.
That's great. And then
there's an after credit scene where we see that
Mordo
maybe is a bad guy.
Taking people's
he doesn't
magic.
Want anybody to be a wizard
except him
or a sorcerer.
He's turning into a Slytherin.
You're not a wizard,
turn
Benjamin Brat. Yeah.
Not all Slytherins are evil.
You filthy mudblood.
Whoa.
Hey.
Going hard, man, with the M word here.
It's not a real thing. Harry Potter is imaginary.
So, out of 10, Ryan, what do you give it?
Ooh. Can I? I might just do that thing where I give a movie a 10.
Really?
I don't know, man.
You liked it that much?
I really liked it. It was weird and it was good. I think maybe I'm not ready to give a 10. Okay. I think I'll give it a 9.5.
Okay.
Just
9.5 what?
Just pulling back just a little bit.
Okay.
9.5 sling rings.
Okay.
Which I think is how you use to watch cable if you don't have cable. out of a possible 10.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and I'll give it a little lower than that. I'll give it an
sure,
eight and a half. I'll give it 8 or 8.5. Like 8.5. I think it's good. Like it's good. It's good. I don't know if it's like it's my top tier Marvel movie. It's really, it is a good one. I like them all though. So I even like the garbage ones that you don't like.
That's true.
But I'll give it 8. I'll give it 8.5. 8.5 Wi-Fi passwords.
Oh, that was another good joke.
What was this? My mantra? It's a Wi-Fi password.
We're not savages.
That was, out of 10. But Blockbuster, lackluster. Yeah,
Blockbuster.
Watch it. It's great.
Oh, man. They're so good.
Spoiler alert.
They've all
watch
been watchable.
Even the bad ones.
Even Thor 2.
Watch all the Marvel movies. They're fun. they sure are a good time.
You know, we haven't done this a whole lot, but if you want to read comics about Doctor Strange, Brian K. Vaughan's
The Oath.
Doctor Strange, The Oath.
That's good.
This movie is partially based on it.
Yeah.
Especially the whole origin story situation.
Yep.
That's a really good one. And then some of the classic Steve Ditko stuff is nuts. It's just so weird.
Yeah. Denny O'Neill wrote some.
He did.
Wrote some Doctor Strange as well, right?
Yeah. A lot of the 70s stuff is just completely out there. Like even now you read it and you're like, what were those guys on? Like what, how did this happen?
Check that out too.
And then let's back at the ranch for a second.
So let's talk about Star Wars. Let's switch Disney gears here. So they've announced, Colin Trevorrow has left episode 9 and they announced today before we recorded this, not before record, but this morning, they announced that, and I also saw him in the audience at the Apple event I watched today. And I saw John Lasseter and Wozniak and a bunch of people.
There's a bunch of people.
That J.J. Abrams is going to be directing episode 9.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Sure. Right. So at least they got somebody who we know has a proven good record with a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good.
My theory, I've read a couple of things. I have a theory, and it's that as these cinematic universes become more larger and more entangled, it makes more sense to get people who have backgrounds in TV to be involved with them.
Yep.
J.J. Abrams has a lot of background in TV.
That's accurate.
Does Rian Johnson, actually. And the other thing I was reading, it was interesting, it was talking about Kathleen Kennedy. She is the queen of Lucasfilm, not the queen. She is the Kevin Feige of Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And so one of them was saying that there's very few women who are at that level of power in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And that based on experience with her, like in her career, she doesn't like, it's not that she doesn't like shenanigans, which I was about to say, but like when people behave badly, when people throw their egos around and stuff, you're gone. And so that's what I've heard happened with Colin Trevorrow, is that he was very confident in his skills, and he was the only one who was very confident in his skills. And so when other people who have, you know, maybe produced dozens of incredibly popular movies said, hey, don't do it that way, he said, no, I know what I'm doing. They said, no, you don't.
Oh, I see.
But
she's been in Lucasfilm for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. She knows what she's talking about, and it seems like she doesn't suffer fools gladly.
You know what's really funny though is I thought was really interesting about her, that I was watching something or was reading something where they were interviewing her, and somebody had asked her in the audience, like a woman had asked her, like, have you ever felt like, you know, you were like the strain because it's a very male dominated industry. She's like, I just never gave any credence to any of that stuff. I didn't really worry about it.
Yeah.
And I just did the best job I could. And
well, no,
I'm
that's
here.
What I'm saying. Like it would be a different conversation if it was a dude who was firing these directors. They'd be like, well, he knows what's best for Star Wars. But people are being like, oh, well, it's, you know,
I think she's made some good decisions thus far. Yeah.
I'm kind of bummed because like Lord and Miller, the guys who got booted to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like if we're talking about proven track records, Ron Howard made some movies.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, and I think that, like, I think at least as far as her going, like, I like that idea that, like, she never was like, I'm going to make it a mission because I'm a woman. I have to do this. She's like, no, I wanted to do this. It didn't matter. Like that I think is a really good mindset for people to have. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, do what you want to do because you want to do it, not because you have to fight something. You know, it's good. Sometimes it's just good just to do you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that, I think that's, it's pretty cool that she's like, yeah, I just never really cared about that crap. I just kept doing what I wanted to do.
But it's interesting. It seems like they're going to continue to, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the next people who get announced for, if they stop doing the sort of, we're going to get somebody who's got maybe a couple of decent movies under their belt to do a Star Wars movie. And instead they start leaning towards people who have been involved in the direction of a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
Rian Johnson directed a bunch of episodes of Breaking Bad, including like a bunch of big deal episodes of Breaking Bad.
I'm not surprised, especially with these things that are all tied in together.
We'll continue to see stuff like that.
With stuff that is tied in together, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So what are we watching next time, Ryan?
We mentioned it a couple of times. We're watching
the second volume two.
Two Guardians, Two Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for next time.
Which actually just came out this year.
Yeah.
It's not even on Netflix yet.
It isn't, but
it should be soon.
But it should be, probably will be soon. And then so this is now the third to last. We have two more after this, apparently, now that I know when Spider-Man is coming out.
Well, what else? Oh, like this one and then Guardians 2 and then Spider-Man. And then we can start watching scary movies.
Halloween. That's right. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We appreciate you going on this ride with us with Doctor Strange. And we want to invite you back next time to almost cap off the MCU with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So join us next time for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.